Slow down a bit. Slow down. There's something in the road. Or someone. It looks like a person face down in the dirt. You're seeing the same thing that I am, right? That's what I thought. Get closer. I want to take a look. Probably just a corpse. Come now. You've been with me long enough to know that I've got to take a look. What if it's someone that needs help? Here. Stop the wagon. That's close enough. We don't need to trample them by accident. The rain did a number on the road. Yeah, that's definitely a person. Be careful. Oh, come now. You know I'm too curious for my own good. Looks like it's just a human. Huh. Strange clothing. Looks like they're passed out, but still breathing. Hey, get down here and help me with them. The animals. Oh, don't make excuses. We both know they're well-behaved enough to stay put. Now get over here. What do I plan on doing? Why, I want to load them up in the wagon, of course. I can't let someone practically drown in the dirt and mud. And you know, the rain's just going to get worse. Besides, we're not that far from the border towns. At the very least, we can clean them up and drop them off somewhere safe. Oh, you protest so much. But you're the one who agreed to travel with me. Here, grab their other arm. Be gentle. We don't know if they hurt or not. There we go. Let's see. Dirty as hell. But they don't seem to be hurt. I wonder what happened. You're right. I can speculate once we get them in the wagon. Come on then. Let's get moving. That took a lot more out of me than I expected. Oh well, I can't abandon someone in need. Now, let me get a better look at you. Younger, lass, aren't you? Well, I don't see any wounds. And surprisingly, you aren't nearly as wet as I'd expect you to be. Wonder how long we're lying in the rain. Though, things have been a bit calmer lately. You'd probably be more wet if you haven't run into the rain in a panic. Your breathing sounds fine. There's a slight, lingering trace of magic on you. Paint it up, but I'm really not sure what type it is. Just that it's there. You certainly don't look like the magical sort, but looks can always be deceiving. I suppose I should clean you up a bit too. Nothing I can really do about your clothes, but town is only a few days away. You know, my niece would look at me like I'm an idiot if she saw me talking to you like this. Some of these old rags should be fine enough for wiping the muck off you. And once you reach town, you should be able to get a proper bath as well. But for now, this will have to do. There we go. Let's get you all cleaned up. I can only wonder what happened to you. Why were you lying in the rain? Where did you come from? And your clothes. How strange. Well, I consider myself fairly well traveled, but I haven't been everywhere. I suppose when you wake up, you could tell me. Maybe they would have a good story or two for me. Well, maybe. Depending on where you're from, I might have a few stories for you too. We're gonna be together for quite some time after all. There. That's looking much better. Your clothes are still a wreck. But nothing to do about that. You know, you are so fortunate that we stumbled on you. I really would love to know what you've been doing out here. But at least you're on the roads and not lost in the wilderness. Oh, you're finally coming around. Good morning, then. I suppose. Good afternoon. Calm down. Calm down. We still don't know if you're hurt or not. And if you are, you might make it worse. I know my kind aren't typically that well received. But to think, even this far out, we'd still deal with such reactions. I assure you, I've got no ill intentions toward you. So relax. Take a deep breath. There you go. I'll answer any questions you like, but I urge you to stay put and rest, alright? There's no need to be scared. You're in a safe place right now. So, can you talk? Do you understand me? Good, good. That makes it easier. We found you laying face down in the dirt, picked you up, and loaded you in the wagon. Why? Because I can't stand to see someone suffer. Or maybe suffer. I really couldn't tell what your condition was. But if I left you out there, who knows what beast might have come along? Oh, well, you're quite welcome. Tell me something. Do you remember it? Anything before waking up here? Not at all. Well, there is some faint magic about you, but I can't quite pin down what it is. We can always solve that mystery later, though. For now, getting to town is more important. Something on your mind? You've got a rather uncertain look on your face. Where are you? That's worrisome. Well, from the looks of your clothing, you're not from around here. I wonder if there's some foul play going on here. For that matter, I can't really tell where you're from myself. But that's not what you asked. Now is it? Well, I'll spare you the fine details, so as to not overwhelm you. Right now, we're on a road in the southern end of what we call the Western Expanse. We're heading up to a border town, one of the busier and better developed ones at that, in order to trade and restock. Does that sound familiar at all to you? Not one bit. Well, the Western Expanse is a large, unexplored wilderness that folks have been slowly making headway into. It's a bit of a misnomer, because it's not like the entire western part of the world is encompassed in that region. Mostly just a particular slice of land that happened to be west of the people that decided to call it that. I really can't fathom where you even hail from if you haven't heard about it. Everyone's been rushing to get out there in hopes of finding lost treasure or staking claim on territory. Adventurers, merchants, all sorts of guilds, and more. It's really quite exciting. My niece and I are torn between staying in town to help with wounded adventurers, or simply restocking and moving on. Oh, I'm sorry for talking your ear off. You didn't even ask me. I just offered. It's alright. Well, I'm glad I didn't impose then. And, you know, maybe talking through these things will help you remember something. Is there anything else you want to ask? What am I? Oh, well, I guess in that case, your reaction earlier wasn't to me, then. I suppose you were just surprised at waking up in an unfamiliar place. That's relief. My kind are typically referred to as snake folk in the common tongue. We have a history, in a manner of speaking. So when you panicked, I assumed you were familiar with it. To put it lightly, my people are not the honorable sort. And as a result, my niece and I often have problems. Oh, but thankfully, those kind of reactions are typically constrained to the western half of the continent. Yes, very astute. That is, in fact, why we're headed eastward. In all of our visits, we were always treated the same as anyone else. So now, we decide to stay here. Or, well, somewhere here. That isn't figured out quite yet. After all, there are a lot of places we haven't even visited yet. Either way, the people here are much more receptive to our services. Ah, yes. We're healers, first and foremost. Primarily of the natural sort. And a little bit magical, too. Decades prior, I realized that my people's venom can be catalyzed into a powerful healing agent. And that was the start of being led down this path. That and, well, not agreeing with the culture back home. But that's not a tale for today. What do I have in mind for you? Well, we're a few days out from town. I was gonna clean you up, take care of you if you need me, and then drop you off in town. And then, we were free to do as you please. But now, I'm rather concerned about you. Yes, I'm worried about your condition. Your physical condition seems fine, though I haven't had a chance to look over all of you. Your mental condition, however, the fact is, you don't seem to have any recollection of where you came from, or where you are. If I were to just abandon you in town, I don't think I could live with myself. Of course, who knows what's going to happen in the meantime. You could wake up tomorrow and remember everything, and it'd be just fine. But for now, you can rest. Let me clean you up, and just relax. The wagon may be a bit bumpy, but I made sure you had something comfortable to rest on. No, oh, you're quite welcome. It's my pleasure. By the way, are you hungry? I don't have anything fresh on hand, just dried rations. But it is something to keep your belly full. By all means then. Take as you please. We keep plenty. This dried meats, berries, biscuits, and more. Oh, but I do look forward to having a warm meal in town again. There you go. Is that enough for you? Alright then.
Good.
Good. And if you're thirsty, there's also some water skins around here. You have more questions? What's on your mind? You want to hear more about the land we're in? Oh, I can certainly oblige. Plus, it might be good for you. Maybe I'll say something that will jog your memory a bit. see. Where to begin? I've traveled an awful lot, but there's still plenty of places I haven't been. Many I've only read about books. Ah, yes, I did quite a bit of reading. I've only got a few books in the wagon, but any time we stop in a major city, I typically do some studying at the library. At first, it was just medical texts, but then my curiosity got the better of me. Given that we're headed eastward, it's probably best that I cover this half of the continent. Yes. First, let me give you a little recap about where we are. Right now, we're traveling along one of the land routes that connects the western and eastern half of the continent. Typically, a lot of trade passes through here, or via the ocean to the south. We're going to be turning northward soon to head toward one of a number of border towns. There's a whole lot of nothing when you move west-northwest from there. Even the trade route we're on now is only vaguely dotted with a few small encampments, largely established to keep travelers safe haven. The town we're heading towards now is named Summerfield. For a long time, it was just a quiet little farming village. Nothing much to say about it. Very backwater. When the rush toward the expanse started, the village found itself to be perfectly situated to become a central hub. There are, of course, other border towns, but they're still smaller and less notable than Summerfield became. I visited there once before the explosion of interest. I've been there once after. Oh, it was night and day. I can't even imagine how the residents felt. You think they were excited? Maybe in some way. I'd imagine that others liked the quiet life. But it was good for the town economically, and the attention has made it much safer. There has been a lot of investment over the town, from nearby kingdoms and from the guilds. It's still not as fanciful as the more established cities, but given more time to expand and grow, it could certainly go that way. Do I have any friends in town? Oh, certainly. Well, I haven't seen them in so long. I don't even know if they'd still consider us friends. But I'll be stopping by both of them for sure. The first one. Back with a boom. She was just the town's blacksmith. And since then, she has expanded into a rather successful general store. Maybe you'll meet her if you stay around my niece and I once we reach town. Oh, she's far from what you'd expect. She's just a short little thing, with the biggest pair of horns you've ever seen. Those things put minotaurs to shame. The poor girl has to turn sideways when she walks her doors. And there's also an elven lady who came down from the north. She's a healer as well, although much more on the magical side of it. She brought a big collection of books with her, so her place doubles as both an infirmary and a library. Oh, her and I used to share all sorts of techniques with each other. Come to think of it, last time I was here, I gave her one of my herbalism books. I'm sure she's done with it by now. I don't even remember how long ago that was. I probably should pick it up while I'm here. Beyond that, not a ton to say about the town. Lots of work to be had, generally safe, and well kept. I thought about spending a few years there myself, instead of traveling constantly. Oh, all done eating already. My, you were voracious. If you're thirsty, the water skins are behind you. Do you need me to get you one? No? Well, I guess you're in better condition than I expected. Memory aside. Let's see. What else is nearby? There's three places that I've been that I could talk about. And I could cover some general geography. Any preference? Not really. In that case, I'll just start with what's close. Or, well, close is relative. We're still quite far from any major cities. Given that we're going to Summerfield, I'll use that as a focal point. So, to the far north we have one of the Elven Kingdoms. I say one of because there's quite a number of them around this half the continent. One to the north, another to the far east in the forest, and to the far southeast, an island nation. There's also the Dark Elves, but they typically keep to themselves. I couldn't tell you one whit about them beyond that. Where are they? Oh, they're underground. There's a few entrances. Somewhere. The most notable one is a massive gate, built into the side of the cliffs the far, far north. I've only heard tales, but they say the gate extends down to the water and basically fills the entrance to a huge gulf. Anyway, the closest to here are the Northern Kingdoms. Or, well, nowadays it'd be Kingdom. They unified some time ago. Quite remarkable, really. Of all the people to unify them, it wasn't even an elf. It was a human adventurer. They slew a beast and took the queen's hand in marriage as a reward. I don't actually recall what the kingdom was named after the unification. It was a messy bunch of city-states all vying for power before then. And now they're an absolute powerhouse. Thankfully, they're good-natured. A friendly sort. Oh, I can't imagine how terrifying it'd be to fight against them. Why is that? Oh, well, arguably, they're at the forefront of magic. And they've got the largest magic academy and research body in the known world. The next closest to them? Probably the Kingdom of Urvask to the south. But their methods and applications are quite different. The beast? Oh, you're wondering why it was such a problem for them. This is a topic I could spend hours on, but I'll give you the short version. In this world, magic flows through every creature. For a long time, it was even considered to be the lifeblood of existence. But that isn't the case. You see, there are creatures whose bodies not only lack magic, but outright rejected. The beast was one such creature. You see, the elves of the north are incredible with magic, but they don't have much in the way of martial prowess. They've taken steps to correct that, but at the time they hadn't. They solely relied on magic to solve everything. The beast, however, was one of those rare creatures whose bodies reject magic. Practically speaking, what this means is that it has no effect on them. They can't use it, and they can't be affected by it. There's a few common folk who have that trait, such as the aforementioned blacksmith. They may feel things like heat or chill from magic, but it otherwise has no effect on them. You can imagine the predicament this put the elves in, yes? Of course, this also means they can't be healed by magic, or anything like that either. Now, moving back to the elves. The adventurer turned king is a goodly sort. The elves in the north were mostly on the up and up before then. Aloof, maybe a bit cold at times at worst. Oh, how they love to squabble amongst themselves. Nowadays, they work hand in hand with other races and kingdoms, and they've spread about the continent more readily than they would have prior. The elves themselves are typically tall, pale, willowy things. Maybe less so in the willowy front now, since they started mingling with others. My elven friend in town used to tell me how terrible the food was back home, and how wonderful it was to move south. I wouldn't be surprised if she put on some weight since we last spoke. Either way, they're very smart, and they're very in tune with the magic that flows through the world. Have I been there? Oh, yes. I went there once. I visited the Magic Academy. Absolutely impressive. Thankfully, I visited after they opened their doors to the public. I can also confirm the food was, in fact, terrible. Let's see. I think I'll save the Central Kingdoms for last. There's a lot to unpack there. Yes, that sounds good. In that case, I'll tell you about Urvask next. Though admittedly, my time there was rather brief. Far to the south of us lies Urvask along the coast. I'm not quite sure if I want to call Urvask a kingdom or just a very large city-state. When I think of a kingdom, I think of one massive city with sprawling territory around it full of smaller towns and villages. But Urvask is a bit different. You see, the land around it is barren. It's cold and dead and barren. Some say the land is cursed. Others think it's merely the result of the geography, how the mountains formed, the way the winds blow, and how the rains move. But for how wet Urvask is, you'd think the land around it would be teeming with life. The city itself is absolutely massive. It is built around a large, vaguely crescent-shaped bay. Most of the city's success started with the fishing trade, but its placement made it prime for ocean-bound trading as well. Now it's a hub of craftsfolk, artisans, and more. What the city lacks due to the harsh land is made up for trade goods. But I can't say I'm the biggest fan of the city. It gives me the creeps. Why? Where do I even start? Let me preface this by saying that as a city-state, kingdom, country, whatever you want to call them, they have been nothing but friendly and good toward others. But their practices, the atmosphere, it just isn't for me. It's dour, dark, gloomy. It feels like there's always a cloudy pall over the city, and that's just the start of it. I said earlier that Urvask is probably second when it comes to magic, but their methodology differs. What I meant by that is, they openly embrace necromancy. That look on your face, you feel the same, don't you? It feels unnatural, but their entire culture is built around it. I've done my studies. It is done willingly. In fact, those who participate are even venerated for it. But I still can't shake the feeling that there's something out of sorts. In any case, the dead are typically used as laborers and guards. They move goods around the city, break ground, and do construction work, and things like that. Setting my distaste aside, the goods they put out are top-notch. The ability to use the dead for general labor means they can focus their energy on skilled work or scholarly pursuits. What else? The city is run by a council of very powerful wizards. I don't know anything about them. They issue decrees in the tower, but they otherwise stay put. Urvaski is really fascinating, but I've largely avoided it out of my own discomfort. How do the other kingdoms feel about them? Trepidation, really. They're not on bad terms, but the use of necromancy is outlawed elsewhere. And as a result, things are always on edge. I wouldn't say they're allied, but they aren't enemies, and they make no aggressive moves toward one another. Urvask largely wants to be left alone, and make the best of the land they reside in. But I think they'd be awful to go to war with. Who knows how many centuries of soldiers they got lying in wait? How do you deal with an enemy like that? What if they use their own defeated soldiers against you? Maybe that's why no one makes a move. But why don't we move on to more cheery topics, shall we? That's right. I mentioned the Central Kingdoms earlier. I do appreciate that you are paying attention to my little lecture. You enjoy listening to me talk? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Especially because I've got plenty more to say. My, you emptied that water skin in a hurry, didn't you? I do hope you're satisfied for now. Good. So, the Central Kingdoms. Oh, where do I even start? There's so much history here, too. This is where I've actually visited the most, even before they made it more accessible. Let's start with geography. To our east is a large mountain range that mostly splits as part of the continent. On the other side is what we now know as the Central Kingdoms. There are a few other names for it, which we'll get to, but if you say that to anyone, they'll know exactly what you're referring to. Nowadays, getting there isn't too bad. They punched a path straight to the mountain to make it easier to conduct trade over here. Previously, you'd either have to go down to the desert or up through the snow, which, of course, each side has its own challenges. But nowadays, with the war going on down there, conducting trade will be so much harder. You'd either go through the snow with the elves or have to sail around the entire southern tip of the continent just to get to Urbask. The war? Ah, yes. Two major kingdoms who both live in the desert have been vying for control of it. I don't know the fine details, just rumors. I could tell you a bit about the desert later. Let me get back on track for now. Anyway, I made one trip out there before the tunnel was dug. I went up north through the Elven Lands, though, which happens to be the one trip I ever made up there. After the tunnel was finished, well, I just went straight to the mountain on my next visits. The mountain range is so big. You know, they actually have little towns carved out inside of it at various points in the tunnel. Moving beyond that, the actual countryside out there is absolutely lovely. Idyllic fields, lush forests, dotted with farming towns and villages. Oh, and the massive city at the center of it all. The Central Kingdoms are called as such for a few reasons. First of all, they're centralized in this half of the continent. Kind of obvious, I suppose. But they're also an amalgamation of individual kingdoms that got united during the war against the Succubus Queen. No, no more tangents. I'll get to that when I get to it. I do appreciate how eager you are, though. Anyway, while people may call it a kingdom, I'd say at this point, it's more of an empire. Well, the densest part of it is immediately across the mountain. Their territory expands down toward the desert, as well as far east, toward a region now known as the Dead Hives. Although, it doesn't encompass the City of Lust, nor does it cover the territory belonging to the Forest Elves. I'm not too familiar with that part of the Empire. I've only really visited the capital and the surrounding towns. As far as the formation of the Central Kingdoms, the war absolutely devastated the smaller kingdoms during the early parts of it. Entering the middle leg of the war, the current emperor began the process of uniting them together, largely by way of making them realize that the only way they'd possibly survive is by working together. That was, combined with allies moving in from the west, enough to turn the tide in the Succubus Queen. Enough ground was regained that a sole adventurer was able to make it into her castle and slay her. Thus, the war came to an end. The kingdoms were united, and the land started being cleaned up. Now, do keep in mind, that's the short version. Anyway, after the war, the kingdoms stayed unified. The major population centers were pulled back toward the capital, and rebuilding started. Only in recent years have people begun to disperse back throughout the lands, rebuilding old towns, cleaning up the remnants of the war. There is one thing that messes in my head a little bit, though. You know, the Emperor is a human. He was already a grown man during the war. And the war, it ended something like, I don't know, 70 or 80 years past, I think. I'm bad at keeping track of time. Either way, he's old, right? And he's a human. But he still walks around. No problem. He's never seen without a full, shining suit of armor and a helmet on. There's gotta be something strange going on there. But nobody seems to question it. Nobody seems to care. Maybe I think about these things too much. He has done a lot of good for the land in any case. Maybe the people are just happy to have a figure like him around. Also happens to be the biggest investor in the push toward the Western Expanse. I'd say the tunnel was built because of that, but the tunnel's construction predates the rush by quite a bit. Question for me? Go right ahead. How old am I? You know, you shouldn't ask a woman her age. Let's say I'm old enough to be your mother a few times over. But we also had different lifespans. Anything else? No? Good. I'll continue then. Maybe the Emperor was just a visionary in that regard. Who knows? Either way, it really opened up trade across the continent. I've thought about making another trip out to the city sometime myself, but I still don't really know what the plan is yet. Let's see. Anything else interesting? They do have one of the biggest libraries in the known world, though, unlike the other two kingdoms, there's more of a focus on martial skill there. It's somewhat balanced, but most of the magic experts are imported from their neighbors. I think that covers the basics for all of them. It just leaves the looser ends of the region to tie up. Now, bear in mind, I've never been to any of these places. I've just read about them in books, or I've been told about them by scholars. There's some major cities and landmarks that ease the central kingdoms. You've got the forest elves. Forests? That feels a bit redundant to say, but you know what I mean. They fought tooth and nail during the war to protect the forest. Never really got along with outsiders until then. They're still a bit wary, but at least they're friendly now. The Emperor made sure to pull everyone and everything out of the elves' territory when the war ended. There's a couple of small towns that border the deep forest, but otherwise, they're off on their own. To the north, therefore, is what we now call the City of Lust. During the war, this was where the Succubus Queen launched her campaign from. After she was defeated, all her minions were released from her spell. They end up rebuilding on top of the ruins. The region is still recovering. The magic that spilled out from there did a lot of damage to the land. I've heard the city has a very unique economy, centered around using a person's essence. Then, further to the northeast, along the coast, is what we call the Dead Hives. And this is the leftover remnants of a powerful empire, Beefolk. I can't tell you much about it. I just know it's there, and some vague details. Before the empire really collapsed, a group split off from the Hives, settled in the plains near to the desert, and mingled with others. They're friendly enough. I've heard tales that they're very obsessed with finding good partners, keep their people's numbers up. Then, east off the coast of the Dead Hives, is where the Naga reside at. Are you familiar, or do you need me to explain? As expected. Well, they're similar to the Lamia, which has a snake-like lower half. The main difference, though, is that they're primarily aquatic. Their empire lies underneath the ocean, as well as on minor island chains around the area. What about me? Oh, are you asking if snake folk are related to Lamias? That's a point of contention amongst many scholars, actually. Back home, many worship Lamias and believe them to be our progenitors. I honestly don't believe we're related, but this has been used to control our people and lead them down a dark path. I'd rather not discuss it. Now, continuing south down the coast, when we get to the very bottom of the continent, there's another group of elves down there. And there's some name they call themselves, but I can't remember for the life of me. Colloquially, outsiders will often refer to them as Southern Elves. A very creative name, I know. They're tall, strong, and they're stunningly gorgeous. I met one once. I wanted her to just pluck me up from the ground and carry me in her arms. Did I ask her to? Oh, no, I'm far too shy. Plus, that'd be a little bit weird, wouldn't it? I still need to think about it, though. Anyway, they're interestingly the opposites of the Northern Elves. They still have a degree of inherent magical aptitude, but they don't study it. Instead, They're exceptionally skilled warriors. I learned most of this when I was up north, but apparently they have an agreement where they exchange their physical talents for gear that keys off their untapped magical reserves. Oh, how I'd love to visit there someday. Though, I'm terrible with the ocean, so I'd probably have to limit myself to coastal settlements. Oh, no, that's not the main reason we're traveling by land. No, the wagon is packed by our home. All of our belongings are here. Kind of hard to load it on ships in the first place, at least without paying exorbitant prices. Now, where else haven't I covered? Oh, yes, the desert. I actually don't know that much about the desert. I do know it's at war right now. I know it's absolutely massive. And people say that the gods walk the land down there. Though, I don't really know how that can be true. I suppose I'd have to see it for myself. I wish I could tell you more, but... Well, tell you what. When we stop in town, I'll ask my friend if she knows any books, or if she knows any history on it herself. How's that sound? Alright, good. I'll keep that in mind. Well then, I think that's everything. Gosh, I can't remember the last time I gave a lesson like that. Did any of that seem familiar at all? Not one bit. Well, I suppose in that case, you continue to be a mystery, at least for now. For the time being, you'll just have to make some new memories. Like I said, you're welcome to stay with us. My knees might complain, but another pair of hands can never hurt. Although, we still have to figure out if we're staying in town or moving on. But we can cross that bridge when we come to it. After all of that, do you have anything you'd like to ask? About me? I don't think I'm that interesting, but go for it. My scars? Are you worried about them? I see. They're old. I often forget they're even there. Well, remember when I said my kind aren't that well received? I was putting it lightly. It goes a bit deeper than that. People that I wanted to help ended up hurting me. It's one of the many reasons I left, and I won't be going back. No, you don't have to apologize. It's perfectly fine. I don't feel bad about it anymore. Just a part of who I am. I think it's time for a bit of rest myself, though. I've got to take over the cart in a few hours so my knees can sleep. We've been taking shifts, we can keep things going. At least, as much as the animals will let us, anyway. You want to help, too? We've got it worked out between the two of us. The third won't really speed it up. Although, I suppose, just in case it can't hurt to teach you how to handle the animals. And an excuse to chat more. Plus, she's likely going to want privacy to sleep. Unlike me. She's not with strangers. Do you mind if I lie down beside you? There's not that much room in the wagon otherwise. Worried because you're dirty? Please. I've literally slept outside in the dirt in my life. When we get to town, there'll be a chance to properly clean up anyway. Things like this are just part and parcel when it comes to traveling on the road. I take it you have no objections otherwise. God. Besides, the warmth is preferable anyway. It's always more comfortable to have someone to lay beside, stranger or not. Am I worried about you? Not one bit. I consider myself a good sort of character, at least nowadays. The only thing I'm concerned about is your well-being. Now, take it easy. Relax. Get some rest. Close your eyes. And enjoy the rest.